listening to The Morgue, also known as the Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing the season 2 finale of MTV's Scream, entitled When a Stranger Calls.
Well, except that it wasn't a stranger, was it? It was Kieran.
Oh, the entire time, as we called several episodes ago.
So, it was a fun episode.
It was such a good episode.
It was a lot of fun. It's a hard one for me because we did call that it was, like, it wasn't surprising, but it was still, it's one of those things where the episode on its own was really well executed. Maybe the season should have done other things?
Well, okay, here's the thing.
Yeah.
While in theory it is like Piper Part 2 in the sense that
Everybody knew who it was.
We predicted it. I mean, you then went off the rails and were like, everybody's a killer.
But definitely, I mean, that was kind of my fun theory. Is more like, whenever people were asking me, I was like, well, the main thing I can think of is Kieran.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we both were like, he's at least one of the killers. There's no denying that.
Yeah.
And it's just too convenient.
Especially, I just rewatched all of season one of Scream, and at every moment he had motive, opportunity, you know, like, he, you know, especially if you watch, like, the Will episode, Will dying episode, mm-hmm. it's like, it totally makes sense that it was Kieran, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah. So, in that sense, it's very Piper-esque, and it's like, this is awfully convenient, but the final confrontation, I mean, you can't compare the two, really.
This one blew
that one out of the water.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
I'm going to take us a step back here and just say, so this is basically our first reactions podcast, mm-hmm. because we just walked to the finale, we're recording 10 minutes later, we're not doing emails, we don't even have a structure or an outline or anything, we're just kind of giving you our first thoughts. This might be a shorter podcast, we're planning on doing another one maybe next week or sometime soon with emails and your opinions, and we'll be able to like look back on it with more thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be exciting. But for right now, these are our thoughts. How would you grade the episode?
I have to give the episode an A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been in a really good stretch. I would say the last, what was it, 4-episode stretch?
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah.
It's the best of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And while I don't, you know, the emotional core, the highest I feel, the mm-hmm. best the episode has ever done is the episode in which Zoe died.
Yeah.
That's like the emotional and dramatic, like that is the peak.
Yeah.
But I put that in A range, and I think I put other things in like A minus range as well. So this is like the next best episode to that. Like
yeah.
I would put them almost on
it's
par.
It's hard
with
to
each
compare because they're just trying to do different things.
Exactly, but yeah. I mean, like it succeeded in its mission. It was dramatic, edge of my seat the entire time.
Yeah. Unlike the season one finale, which I think wasn't completely without its merits, but this one I really was fully in it the entire time. And that was even with us feeling like, oh, it's probably Kieran.
Yes.
Because we were, the thing that's helpful kind of about this show and this series, and like this series slash movie, you know, the movies and everything,
mm-hmm.
is that you are kind of expecting, oh, even if it is Kieran, there might be somebody else. And so I was still looking at everybody else, and I was still, I don't know how, it's a hard one for me to grade. It hasn't really sunk in for me yet because it was definitely, like you're saying, like, I feel like this felt like as close to the movies as they can do, like on their budget mm-hmm. and with what they have. And it's like, it really did feel like exciting to be getting a true Scream finale. And mm-hmm. I think that the final confrontation was filmed better, was choreographed better, mm-hmm. was acted better. Like, everything about it was better than last year. And I think it was, not only was it better, it was good.
It was good.
I think the Eli moment was really strong. Mm-hmm. It's still hard for me to say, though, that I don't know how I feel about it because of the Kieran thing. It felt so clear. And I don't know that, you know, but it was still exciting is the thing. It's like, does it all have to be about the surprise? And like, is there...
No, I don't think it does. And, I mean, it kept us guessing. Mm. I still stand by the fact that the first, like, half of the season was trying very hard to disorient us.
Yeah.
And in some ways it did a good job, but then once it kind of refocused,
yeah.
it actually, in my opinion, made it even clearer
that it was Kieran.
What was the, that, like, Stavo was trying to be pushed as a red herring too much. Yeah. Eli was suspicious, and they, I think they set up Eli pretty well, but even then, it was like, Kieran is too complicit in all of these things to not be a very high priority suspect.
Well, here's the thing about this show, is that I think it's actually a very interesting study in, like, studying these two seasons, I think it's very interesting because they actually, for the most part, I think, did a really good job. It, but then we kind of will leave the finale going, oh, it was obvious. But but it wasn't really. Like, it was, by the end, like, he was always on our suspect list, and it turned out it was true.
And he was everywhere.
But I don't think anybody was like, it's Kieran, it has to be Kieran from episode one, and never suspected anybody else.
That's true.
You know? Yes. It's like, I think they legitimately did do a solid job of setting up, is Emma going insane? They did do a good job of, and that tied into what Kieran himself was doing.
Right.
You know? And they did do a good job of making people suspicious of Zoe. They did do a good job. I mean, okay, they didn't do a great job with Stavo and Eli. But, I mean, but the thing about that is that some people were saying, like, is the twist that the obvious thing is the, you know, like.
So it's not that it never made me suspect other people. It's, Or that it wasn't successful in that sense in some ways in the first half. It's more like those weren't great episodes. Like, I didn't really have as much enjoyment watching those episodes. And that's where I'm kind of coming from calling them a bit of a mess. More. Or just not as good. You know,
well,
whatever.
I wasn't talking specifically about the first half. The whole season.
But how, in that sense, yes, we were doubting Emma. But then things clarified where I'm like, they've kind of let this go, so I've kind of let it go. Okay,
but
that's
fine. Still came into this finale saying there's still a possibility. Like, I wasn't, like, I didn't cross her off the list, even though I, you know, I still was, my prime suspect was Kieran, you know. And I really, as the finale, like, was unfolding in the first third, I was like, because they were really pushing, I felt like they were pushing Kieran, Stavo, and Eli. And I was like, well, maybe it's all of them. But the thing is, I think the problem is with both seasons, because I think season one did a similarly positive thing where, like, you legitimately did question Audrey at moments. You legitimately did question Jake and people, you know, like. But I think the problem is that in both seasons, they think that we're not going to notice everybody or something, because it's like, they didn't seem to ever, like, if they had pushed Kieran as more obvious, then maybe I would have said, oh, it can't be Kieran.
They tried too hard to make him subtle and the good guy. It's a catch-22 in a lot of ways. It could be that it suffers from having too many episodes. But also, I really like this last stretch of episodes. So that was hard, too. I mean, hell, until the, like, even coming into the orphanage scene again, I was like, is Lang involved? She's still suspicious. The way she's, like, forcing her psycho drama of, like, the madness of two and whatever. And you were still questioning, is Kevin around? He and Emma. Like, I've been joking saying how this, the subtitle of this season is, like, or even the show, Scream Daddy Issues. And Audrey says as much, too. Like, you should have gone to therapy for your daddy issues.
But killing is more fun than therapy. Come on, guys.
Shouldn't waste your money or your insurance copays, whatever.
I mean, the other thing I should point out is that the other way that it's Piper 2.0 is that it's once again kind of cribbing from the movies and doing Billy Loomis this time. And so, I don't, again, it's tough for me to say, like, because I do think that it was good, but it's also like, why are you doing that? There was, I will say, unlike Piper, where I was just like, oh, that's upsetting. With Kieran, there was a level of not necessarily like, I knew it, like, I'm so smart, nobody else figured it out, but it was more like, excited to be like, yes, we were right.
I know,
you know, like,
that's
it
true.
It was like, more like, I'm excited to see what happens now, because, like, I wanted this to be what happened.
Ooh,
like,
this works, it's fitting together, and honestly, we've been ragging on Amadeus Serafini's acting. All season. This was prime. Great job.
So
just
now,
like,
I
good
mean,
job.
The question. I totally agree with you. I think he did a fantastic job as the killer. He did a much stronger job than Piper did last year. He was scary. He was believable.
Even when he was, like, the supportive boyfriend, he was doing a great job.
The question then becomes, was his quote-unquote lackluster acting throughout the rest of the season, like, direction?
I'm like, curious about
like,
that.
Like, was he directed to be sort of inconspicuous and nice, or, like, I don't, like, or just kind of bland so nobody would suspect it? Like, I don't, like...
If that is, then that's a shame. If that's, if he had this potential the entire time and the direction wasn't delivering
it. Well, the thing
is,
I think his acting was better last season. So, I don't know, I mean, the funny thing is, too, is, I mean, we hadn't rewatched season one since it originally aired, and so I rewatched it this week, and I feel like the people who, like, had season one, and, like, really in their head throughout the season, who had seen it more recently, or just remembered it better, would maybe be even more dissatisfied with this reveal, because it's, like, season one... He is a very prime suspect, and it does make a lot of sense that it could be him, you know, and the only thing that really convinces people that it isn't is that his dad dies.
Yeah, that's true, because that weren't people talking about that? I mean, you were podcasting on that before, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the note of the direction,
this
episode has a new director. He hadn't directed for Scream before.
Interesting.
His name is Patrick Lussier. I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but he edited the first Scream movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, and this is his first time working, according to his credits. I mean, who knows, behind the scenes, he could have been, like, an advisor or whatever, but this was his first time directing a Scream episode.
Cool.
So, you know, great. The direction was really
good. Direction was really good. Cinematography was on point.
Yeah, there were, like, a couple of weird music cues I wasn't a huge fan of, but those were... minor, except, I mean, one happened directly during. It was like the music cue when Emma's like pointing the gun at Kieran's head after Audrey has him like chained by the neck, and we're it's like, no, I decide not to kill you, and I was like, yeah, of course, but this music is so schmaltzy right now. And then, like, the song that played after, it was called Empty Gun. I'm like, yeah, you're holding a magic gun.
Oh yeah, we should talk about the magic gun with the infinite bullets.
It's a movie trope or TV trope, so, you know, it's not the first nor the last.
I kind of would have, I would have given it to them more if they made a joke about it. Like, I, you know, because it is, that's the kind of the point of Scream, being like, how the hell is this help?
Well, speaking of jokes, Noah was, like, in good comic relief form.
Good meta comic relief form, for sure.
Still emotional at times, where he's like, I know it's my job to keep everybody positive, kind of, but still, like, genuine and help the audience take a breath.
Yeah.
And it was still consistent with him, too. So, all right.
But I want to talk a little bit more about the Eli thing.
Okay.
First of all, when Eli got back up, you know, and then Kieran shot him to death. For like half a second, I thought, oh, was that like a fake gun? Like, was that like, does that gun filled with blanks or something?
Oh.
And like, and Eli's actually in on it, and they just wanted her to like trick her or something. I mean, I'm glad that that wouldn't have been, that was too much of a stretch, I think.
I had that like kind of in the back of my mind when they were, there was the standoff where it could have been two against one because Audrey was chained to a radiator. Not much help there.
Yeah.
Although she did attack Kieran with a desk chair, so
that was cool.
That was cool. Getting back, I'll get back to Audrey in a second, actually. But, so I had that, like, sneaking suspicion for a second, but then when Emma shot Eli, I was like, well, even if he was an accomplice, then, like, he's dead. Emma didn't know that, I don't think.
I did think that the whole thing of that standoff, and then of Kieran blasting him to death at the end there, I think that was all really well done. I think they set up this stuff with Eli pretty well. Does it make it up for the fact that I thought it was weird that Emma was sort of attracted to Eli in the first place? Not really.
No.
But at least it had a good ending.
Yeah. I liked how Kieran called it out of, like, he really liked you.
Yeah.
Like, or I think he really, I was like, this is good. Yeah. This is the quiet madness. We talked about him. We're like, Kieran would have the quiet madness.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have the big shouty, yelly
kind
of thing Piper did.
Yeah.
That we hated.
Yeah.
And he pulled it off.
Yeah, he pulled it off for
sure. Creepy laughter.
And the thing that I thought also that was interesting about the Eli thing is that it sort of harkened back to Scream 2, where it's like, oh, are you going to trust the boyfriend? Are you going to let them die because you can't trust them? You know, so I thought that was interesting. And obviously there's the parallels with, like, being in the movie theaters a lot.
Yeah, the set pieces were really good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think that the video of all the past deaths was really strong.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the motivation for Kieran, too.
Okay.
As far as, so I think that tying it back to the pills was good continuity, but maybe not enough of a reason.
It was just like, my dad abandoned me. And then my mom, liked
killing.
Yeah, and then my mom and my stepdad, like, what about them?
Yeah.
Why? You had a difficult relationship with your stepdad, too. I would have liked a little bit more there on that, because they kind of masked that because they had to keep that in mystery so much.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been cool if they revealed that he, like, strangled his stepdad as he was behind the wheel and that caused the accident. Like, something like that, where he was always unstable and, like...
Well, I feel if they threw in a line, actually, I think a very easy extra thing they could have thrown in is that my dad abandoned me to do pills and left me with an abusive asshole. You know,
that would have been great.
Then it's like, oh, like he got this sort of beaten into him, right?
Yeah.
And so I killed my first dad. Now I'm going to kill the guy who stuck me over here.
Yeah.
You know,
and then seeing my dad who abandoned me sleeping with your mom who abandoned Piper, like, that revolted us. That was a nice touch, too.
Yeah, I liked that. I mean, I think the motive, I think, could have been a little stronger, but his acting and the scene was enough that it didn't really bother me that
much.
Right. Yeah, so I think that's cool. Let's talk about, I thought it was interesting that this really was an Emma episode.
Yeah.
That it really did sort of narrow in on her as our protagonist once again, which this season hasn't been doing quite as much, while still giving Brooke and Audrey good moments. I wish they had a little bit more.
So, Brooke continues, in my opinion, to be one of the, like, kind of the emotional core of this show.
Yeah.
At least in this season.
Mm.
Where she's just, like, she's just such a good person. You just want to be on her side.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that they had her believe... be on Emma and Audrey's side.
Yeah,
like, no, they were set up. Because that was a good cliffhanger. I was like, oh, God, I don't want them to be, like, her and Stavo versus the group or whatever.
I think that was a really strong moment for her. She had a great character moment. Again, it's tough because I think Willa Fitzgerald did a really good job of Emma this episode. I think the writing for Emma was stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, kudos on that, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
That she was a badass for once, and the fact that she isn't, like, some killer person that makes the shooting more interesting because it's like, oh, you're not an idiot for missing, but you're still trying. You know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like,
you're a plain person. I kind of get it.
But it does kind of bum me out because I do really love Audrey and Brooke, too, and I wish they had a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I did like... You know, we do have our three final girls who all survive. We do have two girls together teaming up against Kieran.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I mean, that's really positive messaging there.
Yeah.
So that's definitely cool. Anything else you want to say about Brooke and...
So, right. I felt sad that Brooke was taken out of the equation more, but she's always been a little bit more separate from Audrey and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been kind of like the tying thread through, especially with their recent drama. I have to say that I'm kind of disappointed with what Audrey was given this episode.
Yeah.
I really don't feel like she was given much to work. Like, if anything, there was a flaw of anything, I feel like she had nothing to do, really.
Yeah.
Other than, like, okay, flip a chair and be Kieran's, like, hostage.
Well, that's the thing is, I think she had things... I actually kind of disagree with you.
Okay.
I think she had things to do.
Okay.
But she didn't have character to do.
All right. That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
Yes, like, that's a better way.
I think she was helpful and sort of partially instrumental in beating Kieran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she didn't have any sort of emotional resonance or any sort of major character revelation or anything. You know, like,
Yeah. It feels like they were like, oh, we had enough of... Like, we already did that for Audrey. Like, we gave enough for Audrey. And now it's about Emma again. I'm like, well, this feels unbalanced.
Mm-hmm.
And because she wasn't really given this character work, it felt like she didn't really bring much of a performance to it. Like, I can't say that this was my favorite performance.
Yeah, but I also don't blame her.
I don't blame her. It's just more, I was watching her a few times, and I'm like, I don't know how believable this, like, she's being right now.
Yeah.
I don't think that they got the best performance out of her, but you never know what's left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, yeah. I think similarly, I was thinking a lot throughout this episode that Emma kept being like, it's all on me, it's all because of me. And I'm like, well, this season, not really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really did feel like it was mostly about Audrey this season. And so one of the things that I think is kind of lackluster in retrospect is, why did Kieran kill the people that he killed? Like, yes, it was all about framing them and eventually, like, making them look like the killers.
Destroying their lives.
But, like, wouldn't you have gone after Noah, Brooke,
Maggie?
Like,
finish her off because she was going to be the last person that Piper was going to kill.
It seemed like strange choices. And similarly, no one died this episode besides the cop at the beginning.
Eli.
Oh, Eli. Good point. I totally forgot about Eli.
So this was actually going to be my next question to you. How do you feel? Because at the end of the day, this is a slasher series.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the death toll, like the death count of this episode and the season overall?
Of this episode, now that you brought up Eli, it could have been worse. Like, you got two kills in, and because I was about to say, like, even Kieran didn't die.
Mm-hmm.
But you got two kills in, and you got Brooke stabbed.
Which was, precarious.
Yeah. And Eli isn't an emotional thing, but we've had a lot of emotional things, so I think that's okay.
It was an exciting thing.
Yeah, and it was emotional for Emma.
Yeah.
If there was a season three, she would feel that and some resonance in that.
Probably.
Yeah, so, I think that that's definitely, I think it was okay. I think that this season, if you're talking about the season, people die. I mean, I feel like only really Jake and Zoe really hit and any sort of resonance with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Jake was at the very beginning, so it's kind of hard
He was kind of forgettable.
Yeah. It's also, I feel like if I had just finished watching season one and was still like, oh, I love Jake or whatever.
Yeah. When I say he was forgettable, obviously we still have his emotional resonance through Brooke. It's more just like, I forgot what kind of person he was in the interim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and then we had that random hotel clerk and Haley.
And Branson.
And Quinn.
So they actually
Quinn.
They actually killed a strong number of people at the end of the day. It's just there were a lot of gaps in time, and most of them were people that we didn't, care about in
Quinn
any way.
Quinn was an interesting person for him to decide to kill.
I guess it would really get the headlines. They killed the mayor kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, it was supposed to set up Evan and Audrey, right? Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
The fact that Maggie wasn't targeted just, makes zero sense.
Yeah, it seems pretty weird.
Could it have been an availability thing? I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, it's because they need Maggie for the Halloween special.
It might also just be that they didn't want to do a repeat of last year.
I mean, that's true, but if we're talking about Kieran's motivation...
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of stupid.
So let's talk about... I really like the Stavo stuff.
Yeah.
Him breaking down, I think the actor did a great job. I think that the confrontation at the window and both Noah and Brooke not trusting him was a very strong moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Brooke being upset with him at the beginning, I thought was a strong moment. Again, it's putting, at the end of the day, she gets the guy, but she doesn't need the guy.
Yeah.
Which is the right thing.
Bravo, because this has been my biggest complaint / issue of I want Brooke to be independent. I want her to be strong. They gave it to us. There's no one way of being strong. This show... with its three very different final girls, it demonstrated that, which is, at the end of the day, what I really wanted.
Yeah.
Brooke...
I do think Stavo needed a little bit more. I don't know when... There wasn't really time for it.
In this episode?
Assuming this is kind of like... Even if it's not the... Even if it isn't the end, even if we have the Halloween special coming, which Scream After Dark confirmed, we haven't watched Scream After Dark yet because we're doing this, but we saw, the first 5 minutes, and they said there was a sneak peek for the Halloween special.
Yeah. So it's nice that it's not and now we're relying on renewal for a full season three. It's like, oh, God, that's probably not going to happen.
So... But no matter what, there's a three-month jump.
Mm-hmm.
So we never really got... sort of more of the... there's a lot of blanks that we have to fill in for ourselves about Stavo, right? And, what his... was... I mean, I guess you can say, he's been traumatized since a young age by death. It's how he copes with it is the art and everything. It's made him a little creepy.
Dad is, a workaholic, can interpret.
And then he couldn't go home because his dad was suspecting him and he felt betrayed. So, I mean, I guess you can fill in those blanks.
Yeah.
I just felt like... there was maybe... he had some significant issues. And I felt like I wanted, a little bit more of talking about those significant issues.
Yeah. Well, but now he's saved by his girlfriend or whatever. Yeah. Or his dad putting his hand on his knee.
I thought that was a good moment.
Yeah. It was a nice show, don't tell.
Yeah.
What I really liked was the parallel of Brooke being on one side of the glass and her love interest being on the other side of the glass. So in season one, it was Branson.
Yeah.
That wasn't in the finale. That was like, what?
That was the
finale. Oh, that was. I thought it was the penultimate episode.
No, that was the finale.
Good thing you rewatched. Thank you. You're very helpful. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. Especially in the finale, like, Branson was on the other side, Stava was on the other side, and it turned out that neither of them were the killers.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. That's nice. Also, really good cinematography on that scene in this episode.
For sure.
Also, additionally, once again, of the whole, like, Brooke maybe loves or likes at least, has strong feelings for Stavo.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's free to disagree with him. Mm. It happened at the pageant show where he's like, don't go up there. You have nothing to prove to those people. She's like, no, I have things to say.
Yeah.
And here it was, they're suspects. They're suspicious. Audrey and Emma, you can't trust them. You can't trust your friends.
Yeah.
So you see the video. And she's like, I know them. They could never have done this. Don't you say that.
Yeah,
so it's this kind of thing where, like, I like you, but you don't get it.
Yeah.
And I'm still me. And it was kind of nice how she's still, while very different from everybody else in the group, she's very much bonded to them. And we saw that mostly through her and Noah.
Yeah.
Which was set up beautifully in this season, coming into this finale.
Yeah.
That you have to agree, like, her being his wingman,
that was
prime,
really good,
prime development.
For sure. It's interesting. I almost wish they had developed the Brooke and Kieran friendship a little bit more, because they hinted at it at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been interesting if she had developed more of a close friendship with him, too, and that, so that they shook her, too. Supposedly it will, no matter what.
Yeah.
But I love the drawing of the new five, by the way.
That was so cute.
That was cool.
It's like positive instead of bloody, gory stuff. Like, what a difference 3 months, 3 months make.
It's also kind of interesting that I kind of like that it's three girls and two boys, you know?
Yeah.
It's great.
What
else do we need to talk about? Well, it was obviously the ending, but I think we should hold off on that before, if there's anything else major. I mean, I want to say that Emma breaking down in the car on the phone with Kieran was great. I mean, I definitely... They foreshadowed Kieran a lot, especially in this episode.
Oh,
between him leaving to go get Audrey or whatever,
and him being in the room in the actual movie theater, and then the projector alone.
Yeah,
and then the projector starts playing all the murders. It's like, wait a second. Especially they do the creepy like music cue and him looking over his shoulder like slyly with like a little bit. And I'm like, ha, this is something.
So question, actually, I just thought of something. So they try to throw us off the scent of Kieran by having her get called in the middle of a call with Kieran.
Right.
So is that somebody else? Or was Kieran just, like, holding a second phone?
Isn't he around people at that moment?
No, I'm talking about...
When she
was in the car, she calls Kieran, and she gets on the other line, she gets a call from the killer, and she says, love you. And he goes, love you too, and then she goes to the killer.
Well, he's good with technology, so it could have been like...
Yeah.
That's the magic excuse of the killer's good with technology.
Well, I mean, the other magic excuse would be that
he has
a second phone.
Which we already kind of like...
Yeah.
This killer has like unlimited phones. He leaves one with the mayor, he leaves one here, there. What I was actually talking about was when Audrey, Emma, and Brooke are in the movie theater bathroom when they're cleaning Emma up and she gets that white wife beater on, which is like badass chick uniform, I guess.
Final girl uniform.
Well, I was thinking even Ripley.
I don't know
if you'd call her like girl.
Technically.
Yeah, but it's like a sci-fi.
Alien 1 is a horror film. It's pretty much a slasher film.
Okay,
so
good point.
We could easily do Alien on here,
Anyway, what was I saying before?
Badass uniform.
Before
bathroom.
So he's like in the same area as like Noah and Brooke.
Well, Brooke is with them.
Noah.
So he's just with
Noah.
But they could have split up.
But it was one of those things where I'm like, but last we saw, they were together.
Well, see, all these moments that they were showing this, I was still expecting it to be Kieran, and I was just like, I was expecting an accomplice.
Yeah.
Which actually reminds me, something that I theorized on Twitter, which I think would have been really cool, and I'm a little bummed didn't happen, was that at the beginning of the episode when Lang is theorizing about Emma and Audrey, and is like, oh, one person has a delusion, and then brings the other person into the delusion, and together they make a greater delusion.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I think it would be really cool if, and then it became because of their trauma. I said it would be really cool if this was true, but applied to Kevin and Kieran.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin had this trauma, created this delusion, and then brought in someone like Kieran for whatever reason they'd figure out.
Yeah.
And then it was the two people, and so they were, that would be really interesting foreshadowing, I think.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know if this is a good time to get into it, but what was the whole thing of, like, Kieran going to visit, like, the James grandmother or something like that? Oh, okay,
I can tell you about that.
Yeah, can you refresh my memory?
Yeah, because I just watched that recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole thing, it's interesting that this is actually very interesting. So they went to visit the Jameses, right?
And, who's they? Remind me.
Piper and
Emma.
Emma, yeah.
Okay.
Piper and Emma go to visit Mrs. James. She says that he just got visited by Brandon's son, and that he was very nice, and they go, what was his name? And she was searching for it, and they said, was it Seth? And she goes, yeah, it was Seth.
Oh, right. We were like, that's, you're supplying the answer to her there.
Well, but then later at the dance, Emma's at the dance, and she just was, like, sort of mistrusting Kieran, because Audrey came in with the footage of Nina and Kieran. And so Kieran left and was upset because he's like, you don't even trust me. I'm just a killer.
exactly.
But so the thing that's interesting is that Piper comes back then and says, I went back to Grandma James and showed her the yearbook to prove for sure it was Branson.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it wasn't him, but she pointed at Kieran. So for one thing, the assumption would be that Kieran said his name was Seth to throw off the track.
Right.
But I think it's interesting that Piper would even supply that
information. Well, the whole idea was to be... Well, didn't they get interrupted with the sheriff, Kieran's dad, being disemboweled at that moment? So
to bring it up more, but then throw them off the track, but make her really suspicious.
Yeah, to really throw her off of Kieran. Yeah. And then Kieran was supposed to be the surprise. It wasn't going to be that Audrey brought Piper into town.
Yeah.
It was going to be...
that Kieran.
So now... how did Piper and Kieran meet?
It's in general?
Yeah.
They just met. What do you mean? Like, the idea is that they just started dating.
I know, but like...
how did he find out everything about her?
Yeah, like, how did the sheriff... It's convenient. The sheriff came to Lakewood, and Piper just so happened to have ties to Lakewood.
Did the sheriff... I think he came back to Lakewood or something.
Did he?
I forget specifically. I feel like I should know because I just watched season one, but now I'm forgetting. I don't think that he was new to Lakewood. I think he had returned to Lakewood or something like that. If I'm wrong, let me know. I also think that the whole thing of Tina and Eli coming, and Kieran getting upset about that, I think was an interesting moment in hindsight too.
Yeah, it's really weird that they stayed, considering they had just celebrated his 18th birthday.
Yeah.
That was kind of dumb. Like, okay, yeah, you're supposed to be his guardian. Well, you did a shitty job being his guardian, but now you're legally not his guardian anymore, Tina. Yeah.
Wait, no, actually, I think they celebrated his birthday, like, right after that,
That was
before.
The party.
The party was, but it was after Eli showed up. That was episode 2. I'm pretty sure Psycho is the episode where Eli and Tina show up.
Okay, so they show up, and then he has a party, and it's like, you can't do this. I'm supposed to be taking care of you. So, either way, she has no reason to stay. He turned 18.
But then they wanted to stay, because it was a nice house.
Yeah, but they didn't have the right to.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. There's some
Kieran,
weird...
if he didn't want to deal with them, he literally could have been like, I'm 18. Yeah. Get out. Just saying, kind of in retrospect.
It's also interesting that Kieran dropped off the bodies in the house that he knew Eli was hanging out in.
I guess he followed.
Did he know the fire was going to happen? It's interesting about like how that all turned out.
I don't know, but we were right about him planting Audrey's letters.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. All right, who else are we missing any major thing other than the ending, which again, I want to hold off on. Again, I thought the whole movie theater thing was good. The opening scene, I want to say, even though like it was just a random cop, I thought it was a really great way to start off the episode.
Yeah.
Really just violent, good action-packed moment, scary moment. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting. Like, again, edge of my seat, what'll happen next. The promo from last week finally was like, threw me off as to what to expect for this episode.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to have like three different storylines happening at the same time. Instead, it was actually like everyone coming together. And yeah. then, like, circumstance splitting them up a bit.
Yeah.
But actually being, like, emotionally together until the end. So that was really great and unexpected. And, like, bravo, yeah. good marketing there.
I think I'm going to go. I never actually graded the episode. I think I'm going to go with an A-.
That's fair. That's mostly how we've been doing it.
It's very difficult as far as... the episode by itself is an A.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, like... They didn't do a great job of not making Kieran obvious before now, so yeah. it wasn't like...
Yeah, but yeah. again, it's the how they pulled yeah. it off. Yeah, I would put it as... I still think it was probably, like, the second best episode yeah. of the series.
Probably,
season
yeah.
at the very least. Yeah, if yeah. I'm talking just this season as a whole, just yeah. this second best episode.
Also, so Kieran was having sex with Haley, apparently...
Oh, yeah! Well, that makes sense why Haley was being like, I know something you don't.
Yeah.
Na-na-na-na-na. I totally forgot about that. Good job. Yeah. That was cool.
All right, so we're going to end off with the big reveal at the end, which I thought was a really cool moment. Like, we kind of saw something like that coming
mm-hmm.
as far as, I mean, so there's the commercial break after they defeated Kieran, mm-hmm. and I was tweeting, and I was like, okay, well, we haven't tied up all the loose ends. We still have those flashbacks about Brandon James.
Yeah.
We still don't really know what happened back there. Like, how is Quinn even involved? They had mentioned,
yeah.
they mentioned Quinn, and we never saw. Also, it was the whole thing about Troy and the pigs and everything.
The pig farm bringing Emma to the
yeah,
pig farm.
Like, we never got any of that answered.
Yeah.
So the other question I might have is, I mean, I have to rewatch that scene in the movie theater. Where they showed all the previous deaths and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Were all the kills this season from Kieran? You know, that's the...
Good question.
And like, so, like, what was... Or was Kieran the one in that house? It seems like no. It seems like maybe Brandon was the one in the house. So this interesting things...
Well, no, I mean, if Kieran was friends with Piper... not friends, but, like, in a relationship with Piper, and Piper investigated all of this, and
yeah.
there was, like, known history of where they lived, or the Jameses lived, like, that totally could have
been
Kieran.
But the whole thing
knowing.
About the scratched-out face... That
he was trying to psychologically mess with Emma, though. I wouldn't...
But
I'm
no,
not
but
saying
that, was,
that wasn't...
But I'm saying that Miguel was the one who was freaked out about that.
Oh, yeah. That...
So, like, I feel like that has something... that There's still something else going
there,
on
there
here.
There definitely is, as it showed here, obviously,
yeah.
with the phone call and everything. But still, it's unclear.
Yeah. I think the other question could be... So I was thinking about when I was watching season one, we talked about the whole... Someone had sent an email about, like, is Acosta Troy James?
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be... I still forgot to go back and check to see if Maggie called him Miguel in the flashbacks or not. But mm-hmm. the James definitely lived next to Daisy.
Yeah.
So that's separate from the pig farm.
Yeah, they had a pig
farm.
So
he could have gone to Acosta / Troy James and then brought him to the pig farm.
Or he brought her.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but
whatever.
He showed him where to go, right? Or
No, that wouldn't make sense.
You're right.
Yeah.
So that could be a thing. It is, I still think that there's some confusion about race stuff as far as, we see Brandon James as a kid in season one, and he's definitely not Hispanic, but maybe Troy is an adopted brother?
Or a step-sibling,
yeah.
or, you know, siblings don't always look alike, and
yeah.
whatever, that whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm less inclined to believe that Acosta is
yeah. I mean, I
like
think
a
it,
blood relative.
All I wanted
Troy
to
James.
Say is, I think that's still on the table. Yeah,
I'm not ready to from that storyline. I'm not ready to eliminate anything,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah. So the actual reveal, if he gets a call from supposedly Brandon James,
meaning Kieran,
yeah,
yes,
at the prison. I think that was a really cool thing. Do you think it's Brandon James, or do you think someone saying they're Brandon James?
Could be.
I mean, it's interesting. This is an interesting question because if it is Brandon James, like, how is that interesting? I mean, it was interesting as a cliffhanger, but I don't know if it's interesting as an ongoing storyline.
So, isn't it ongoing from season one that, like, they're not even actually sure if Brandon James
yeah.
was the one who committed...
That Maggie Maggie didn't believe it.
Yeah, Maggie didn't believe it. So it wasn't necessarily Brandon, but Brandon got caught in the crossfire or whatever. Maybe even tried to stop it, but he got injured.
Yeah.
Then he runs off into the woods, survives potentially, probably. What I think is going to happen is Brandon James is alive.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be the killer.
Yeah, well, that's the question. Maybe it is Brandon James, meaning it's the... it's the symbol of Brandon. It's like the person who committed Brandon James's murders,
yeah,
and wore his mask, mm-hmm, as he committed the murders, mm-hmm, but it isn't actually Brandon James.
Yeah.
I still think it could be Kevin.
I wouldn't cross Kevin off of the list, yeah, because, like, again, Scream Daddy issues, yeah, but also just the fact that he never fully recovered mentally, and he was in that span of episodes at the beginning of the season showing his instability, and then disappeared. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm not ready to cross him off of the list.
Yeah. So I think that's definitely an interesting way to leave us. It was a really cool moment.
So just going back to also, like, because it was kind of a montage of different clips.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that, first of all, want to try the malted milk balls with popcorn. I would recommend, if you don't have a peanut allergy and you like chocolate, try peanut M&Ms and popcorn. Mm. That's delicious. My best friend introduced me to that. Sweet and salty. On a different note, Lang.
Yeah.
So it showed her writing a book, and it was like The Psychosis of Two or something. It was like what she was introduced as talking about that phenomenon with Acosta in the beginning.
Yeah.
The line she wrote, like the first sentence, like the story begins with two sisters, or it all begins with two sisters.
Mm.
Now, I don't think that she's necessarily referring to Audrey and Emma.
Mm-hmm.
She has no reason to refer to Audrey and Emma at this point.
You're talking about The Psychosis of Two.
She's writing about...
Well, she's obviously talking about Emma and Piper when she's talking about those two sisters.
I mean, yes, but also that doesn't quite relate to the idea of psycho. Well, no, then it would be Kieran and Piper. Okay.
So.
Yes. In a way, though, I would say it kind of began before.
Yeah.
Emma, well, so I was going to say it might actually be about her and Piper.
Her and Piper?
I don't think we can cross
off. Why would she write about her and Piper, though? That doesn't make any sense. I think that's silly. I think that you could say...
Who said she's ready to publish that? I'm just saying I'm not ready to cross her off of a list of crazy people.
Okay. I'm pretty ready to
this do is that. My, like, pet theory.
I mean, I would say that I think there's still a possibility that she still suspects Emma and maybe thinks that Psychosis of Two is Emma and Kieran.
Mm-hmm. And not...
And maybe Piper was before. She's saying now it was Emma and Kieran. Okay. Maybe. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I mean, I definitely think that...
I think, honestly, Occam's Razor, I think probably it's Piper and
Kieran.
You're
right. I don't know why I didn't think of that. But I'm just saying that the line starts with two sisters. It depends on her perspective. And just how you had a fun pet theory last week of everybody is a killer somehow. Yeah, this is kind of my pet theory of, like, Miss Lang is not as innocent as she seems, and she came from this abusive orphanage that Piper came out of, and I think it fucked with both of them.
I mean, I think that's valid for sure, and I also think it was a kind of an awkward moment to me to show that scene of her, because I felt like they were trying to play it off as, like, maybe positive, or, like, kind of like the Gail having her, like, story at the end, right?
Yeah.
But except that Lang isn't positive like Gail is, so it's like, that did feel like, I don't want her to publish that story, you know, so that was kind of weird.
Okay.
As far as we think, because again, we're working off not full knowledge because we haven't seen Scream After Dark and we haven't read all the articles and things like that, as far as what we think there's a two-part Halloween special coming up to sort of potentially tie up all loose ends. My guess is that's it for the show, that it isn't going to have a season three, and that they're giving them this gift of a two-part special to tie up the loose ends because they knew they didn't want to end with this cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And that it made sense during Halloween. It will probably maybe get a little bit more attention during Halloween. They'll promote it.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get other, like you suggested, maybe we'll get other specials in the future for Halloween. Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe.
If it does well.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that's interesting about that, with the cliffhanger and this two-part special, is that could actually be much better than a season three, in my opinion, as far as, yes, I want more episodes, yes, I like these characters, but as far as what we talked about with Kieran, and how there were too many episodes, and it became really obvious, or whatever, if there's basically a movie, if you combine these two episodes, and the killer is somewhat obvious, or whatever, you're not going to be as upset about it, because you're not like, and you also don't have less time to theorize about it, because you're just walking it and it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
I'm excited for that. I think it's a smart idea. I think that would really complete their homage slash version of the Scream movies.
I also think it would be kind of funny if that was like the best killer reveal, because that would be very ironic with Noah saying you can't do a slasher series as a TV show in the first season.
Yeah.
Because it would kind of prove him right.
Yeah. I mean, so far he's actually kind of right.
You can't do a, it's very hard to do a successful slasher whodunit that's surprising as a TV show.
Yeah.
And it's not even just this show that's proven that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I have to say that, like, of all, I don't know how many whodunits I've seen on TV.
Yeah.
Really? But I'd say that the best one is probably Twin Peaks, which you can't speak to. Mm. But I
better than the Veronica Mars stuff.
Ooh.
I think the Veronica Mars stuff is pretty solid.
Veronica Mars is really solid.
Yeah.
They're very different, though. I wouldn't call Veronica Mars, like, in the same...
It's not a slasher.
No. But, like, it's less comparable in my mind when I'm comparing things to, like, Scream-style whodunit than... It's, No, it's definitely still up there.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Mm. That one's probably the best. Yeah. And then I would put Twin Peaks up there, which is more similar, I feel, in the vein of Scream. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a very vivid, some very vivid imagery we're left on with the note, Maggie, tying back to Maggie. Mm. She'll be important again in this Halloween special.
Mm-hmm.
It's her note that she left for Brandon James.
That's actually
blood smeared, stabbed with the thing.
Yeah, that's actually also a good point that it's not just that we leave off with Kieran getting a call from from Brandon, quote unquote, but Maggie knows that it's not over.
Yeah,
and I think that's interesting. Also, will she continue to be the worst person ever and not tell her daughter about it?
Good God, I'm glad they didn't try to shoehorn this in too much. They didn't shoehorn it in. It felt natural and genuine and the right way of finishing off this episode.
Yeah.
So I just want to mention again, like, because this is our immediate reaction to the episode, you put up a poll on Twitter. We're probably going to read, like, the final results maybe in our, like, feedback episode. But so far, 60 out of 50 votes that we've got in the last, like, less than an hour, 66% give it an A, 22% give it a B, 8% give it a C, and 4% give it a D.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So most people...
I mean, I'm not that surprised that some people just feel very disappointed. Because the thing is, I'm pretty sure that both years, after the penultimate episodes of both seasons, MTV itself did like a big poll, like, who do you think the killer is? In both years, the audience predominantly picked the person who was the killer.
Yeah.
So it's you're doing something a little wrong there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how because it was just like following the MTV hashtag. I don't know how many of the people who voted in this poll actually listened to this podcast.
Yeah.
But if you are a listener who gave the episode
a C or a D,
I'd be very interested in hearing what you have to say and your reasoning for it. Is it because you predicted Kieran? Is it something else? That kind of thing.
I mean, I think you could also, I think you could legitimately be upset that nobody of note died. I mean, because again, Eli, yes, he's technically of note, but no one of emotional resonance or importance to the show died, you know?
Question. Do you think they should have killed Brooke?
I mean, that's a very hard question, because I love the character.
Same.
And I don't really know, like, you wouldn't get the time to mourn her.
Yeah.
So that's the thing that's complicated, again, about the difference between the movies and the show, is that, like, the show has set up that these deaths matter, and we want to, like, actually, like, when there's an emotional death, you want to give it a character moment.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a movie, you could kill off, you know, someone like Scream 2, spoiler, skip 20 seconds ahead, you could kill off someone like Randy and then kind of move on.
Yeah.
But it would feel weird to just kill Brooke off at the end of the season and not have time to focus on that. And it would... I don't know. I can't decide. What do you think?
I think if the show had, like, 5 more minutes, it might have been enough to pull it off.
Yeah.
Like, instead of having Stavo walk in on on and be like, I should have found a different way in. I'm so sorry. Like, what? And talking to Noah and being like, what's going to happen? What are they saying? And I'm being like, she's a fighter. She'll pull through.
Yeah.
It being like Sheriff Acosta being walked out with the doctor.
Yeah.
And them looking grim.
Grin.
Grin. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was reading your facial expression. I was like, grin? Grim. Yeah, them looking grim.
Yeah.
And then, like, Noah kind of having a sad moment. And then Stavo at the end of the hallway, like, catching his father's eye and, like, breaking down.
Mm.
And being like, I should have... Like, kind of similar dialogue. And his dad would still have supported him. Mm. And then Noah, instead of having a little bit of that, like, more frantic, like, yeah, no, Brooke will be fine. It's fine. Yeah. Focus on this. Being like, no, this was Eli.
Yeah,
like, having some anger and passion to it.
And then you could even, in, like, the final montage, you could be like, things have moved on, but they're still remembering bro. Like, they're still at the cemetery or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like they stopped by.
I think you could do that. I think...
I'm not saying it would have been, like... Yeah. I'm glad we're going to see her in the Halloween special.
I mean, I think part of the problem is that that wouldn't have been a good enough death for her, and that it... The problem with the TV show versus the movie is, I think that when you have an ongoing character like this, who's a really well-designed character,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to kill them off, you have to kind of have them complete an arc or have an emotional... Like, you can't just end them in the middle of nothing.
Well,
like,
no, here's the thing. I feel like Brooke kind of had that when she was talking to... Listen, I'm not saying, like, they should have killed Brooke.
Yeah.
I'm angry about this. Yeah. I love Brooke. Glad we get to see more of Carlson Young.
Yeah.
But... she kind of, when she talked to Noah when he was still in the hospital before they get the phone call from Emma and Audrey to join them in the movie theater,
yeah.
she's like talking about her dad and he's like, he wasn't perfect, but I loved him and I missed him. And like, maybe if they gave her like, again, another minute to spend with her,
yeah,
it would have like, I feel like the loss of her, especially if maybe at that, so when she got stabbed, she was like, turn it off. I can't do this.
Yeah.
It was like if they spent another 30 seconds with Brooke of her, like, suffering.
I disagree in that this is my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Brooke had really strong individual moments this season.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think he actually really had an arc.
Okay.
As far as, I think that they kind of, that she's kind of one of the things they sort of bungled as far as, yes, she had really good moments, but, like, what is her story, really?
All right.
You know, and I feel like it would have been, like, you're killing her off in a mess, like, at the end of a messy storyline, a messy season for her.
Okay.
Like, even though I definitely, like, again, I think that there are a lot of great points, I think there are also just, like, we're kind of putting her in the background. Like, especially, like, the last, like, five episodes or four, like, since the carnival, what has she really been doing? You know?
Hey, I agree. I think that she is more of a character than, like, a plot-driven person. What are they going to do with her in the Halloween special? You know, like, that'll be what, maybe, if it's a two-part Halloween special, it'll either be 2 hours, 1 hour each, or 4 hours,
like,
two-hour
episodes. I almost say if you were going to kill off one of the females in this episode, you kill off Audrey.
I was thinking that,
too.
Yeah, but
I feel like her story... it was good, and I love Bex, but her story has kind of reached its zenith,
mm-hmm.
and that would have been a good emotional thing for Kieran to do in front of Emma, you know, like...
Yeah, especially since he kept threatening it, and then it didn't, like, happen.
I mean, but again, it's all pluses and minuses, because I still do think it was a good thing that they together defeated the killer. It's a great representational thing.
I still love the fact that there are three final girls.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, them finally being, like, best friends again, I think is a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they're ever gonna return to her having had the thing for Emma, or if that's, like, moved past that now. But, it, you know, so maybe her story isn't over in that respect.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, it's complicated, and by no means is this, like, criticism or questioning, saying that I'm dissatisfied with the episode. It's just, you know, it's curiosity, it's wondering.
Well, it's also, like, somewhat understandable things that I can understand other people really being upset about this episode.
Yeah, like, that, reasons it would,
you know,
be a C.
It's like, okay, like, I like Scream because they're great whodunits, and they're really cool slashers.
Yeah.
It's like, no one of note really is dying, and that's a really obvious reveal. You know, so I get it. But I feel like the action more than made up for the, you know.
Yeah, and the direction.
Yeah.
Really well-directed episode. Yeah. Hope this is the guy who does the Halloween special, yeah. actually.
All right. So, here's I think this is everything, right?
Yeah, I'm all right. good.
So, we're going to do a feedback episode. Do we want to commit to next week? Is that the plan?
It'll be up at some point next week.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
Yeah. So, we're new feedback episode. Let us know your thoughts on the finale. Let us know your thoughts and your theories about the Halloween special. By then, we'll have seen the sneak peek that's in Scream After Dark. We can talk about that next week.
Mm-hmm.
Any other news that's about the Halloween special, we'll talk about that if you guys send it in. So, email us at thescreamcast@gmail.com. Leave us a review on iTunes. We got a nice review this week, actually. I should read that real quick, or at least the person's name, to say thank you. But also, yeah, review us on iTunes, rate us on iTunes, check us out on Twitter at ScreamPod. What else do? We have thescreamcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Also, you know, we are not sure what we're going to do next. Mm. We're not sure about Scream Queens Season 2.
Mm.
We did cover that. If you're interested in hearing our coverage, if you're, like, watching Season 1 of that, in preparation of season two, then yeah. we have episodes on that. But we're, you know, planning on doing movies. We're gonna do Scream 4. We're gonna do it.
That's high on my list for the next thing to
do. But if you have any suggestions of other things that we might like or want to talk about, send those in too.
American Horror Story this season is a possibility.
Very interesting promos.
Yeah. There was some other show that I was thinking about talking about. We could do maybe, if you find the time to catch up on Dead of Summer, we could do a Dead of Summer wrap-up episode.
That's looking less and less likely, Dan.
But so, yeah, we'll figure it out. We're going to definitely do more movies. And my guess is this. At minimum, we will do a Scream Queens premiere episode podcast where we give our thoughts.
Oh, yeah.
That might be it, because honestly, we're not that excited about the new season, and
not loving those promos,
not really, I'm honestly, like, I enjoy a lot of it as it was happening, but I'm left with this bad taste when I see, like, Munch and the Chanels, and I just, like, don't want to see them again.
Deal with it. Yeah.
Like, if it had been a whole new revamp, I would have been much more excited about season two.
So thank you. To the person who left us a review.
Yeah.
Is but 1234567892636200. So thank you, but bunch of numbers.
But
we appreciate
remember
it.
These numbers, kids. All right.
Oh god, Dan. It's getting late. We're getting loopy. Send us in your feedback. You got lots of ways to do it.
thescreamcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Okay.
Scream you later.
Daisy. Give me your answer, do. I'm half crazy, all for the love.